Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Clicking Balls. This is an AFL podcast, and now we're looking at the 2020 season primer for the Sydney Swans. So before we do that, we'll do a quick review of their 2019 season. And finishing 15th in the bottom four, so the first time out of finals for over a decade, I think. A little bit disappointing, but when you look at it, probably not that surprising.
Well, like so many teams that finished outside of the top eight, you could argue they had some fairly decent injuries to quality players.
Injuries and age, I think.
Yeah. Although, how many years has Buddy Franklin into his contract now?
I think he's got three left.
They've gotten value out of him. They've got a premiership. They've got value.
That's it. You know, they keep saying that half the battle up in Sydney is trying to keep the public interested, or you know, trying to get column inches in the papers. And he's done that without a doubt. You know, You walk down the street, probably somebody that casually knows about the AFL, knows the name Buddy Franklin.
Yeah, like, hey, Israel, how you going, mate? The problem is, though, he gets less attention for kicking like 70 goals a season than he would if he decided to get on the coke and wrap his beamer around a fucking tree or some shit.
There's still time. Oh, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
But what do you think, what were the highs for the Swans in a year where they put eight wins on the board?
During the season regular, keeping most of their blokes in the red and white, I think.
Did they re-sign John Longmire?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's a high for John Longmire.
Yes, they did.
Yeah,
because Brad Scott got sacked.
That's right.
That's it. They wanted to lock him in so North didn't poach him.
Yeah.
And I think it was absolutely confirmed that North weren't poaching him, but certainly asked the question.
Yeah. Oh, that was... So, there's my low.
I like that Sydney have had their worst year in 15 years...
Yeah.
And he got a contract extension
at
top dollar.
It was the recession they needed to have.
it's brilliant work from him, isn't it? The timing is everything.
Yeah. North looking after their ex-players every step of the way.
Aren't they? There's his retirement fund.
They got Adam Simpson another contract last year.
As well, he was sniffing around a little bit.
But I think it's really hard to pick out highs, especially where GWS really obviously had a massive season, played in the granny, and they got plenty of... people at their games, plenty of column space, I'm assuming.
Well, in September they did.
Yeah.
Yeah, and not as much as they should have.
Yeah.
But, you know, even during the year, I put down a couple of highs for Sydney. One being Blakey. It wasn't a breakout season or anything for his first year, and was never going to win the Rising Star over Sam Walsh, but it was good, and he showed something. Put in some good efforts crucial efforts in last quarters.
And, yeah.
You know, I'm thinking especially against Hawthorn. But he showed enough that, okay, yeah, he can be something we can look forward to, you know, in 3 years' time when Buddy's finished up.
Yep.
And Jane Rampey was the other big one, who was all Australian again. But besides that, he was in the papers every single week for doing something bloody stupid.
Yep.
Either telling somebody they punched like a girl or something like that.
Yeah.
It was. And climbing the goalpost against Essendon.
Yeah. What? That one to me is baffling. Like, I don't know they should punish the bloke as more as just asking to explain why.
Oh, well, you did get the please explain.
Yeah,
as they say.
It's one of those ones where it's like, mate, you know, it's like when you see a player roll the ball back to the guy when he's on the mark. It's like, that's a penalty. And you should have known this from, like, junior grades.
That's a long time ago, that one. It used to be, you know, when somebody kicking out from fullback handballs it, and you go, mate, what are you fucking...
Yeah, yeah. It's like, I just think, look at it and be like, why do you care that much if he kicks a goal or a point? Like,
well, okay, it was a goal after the siren to win the game.
Oh, that's right, it was too. Well, still, I mean, they're 8-0. Maybe he's doing them a misfortune if they win that game.
it was also against Essendon. So I loved that, one, it was illegal and he got away with it, and it was against Essendon.
Yeah.
So that was one of my highlights of the year, actually.
Yep.
And the fact that it probably should have been, you know, a free kick on the goal square, but...
I think the ruling, like, when they... Obviously, the post-mortem, when they went through and checked the actual rules, it should have been a free kick, right?
Well, that's the beauty of
it.
I think the AFL came out and said, no, no, it was correct, but if it happened again, it would be a free kick on the goal line. Well, which one?
Well, that's the thing I like, is that it was correct because it was Essendon.
Yeah.
And the Essendon supporters believe there's a whole AFL department devoted to fucking them over, and the rest of the comp hopes there's a whole AFL department devoted to fucking them over.
Well, they're just used to them as being themselves, fucking themselves over.
Anyway. Although Essendon and Sydney have had some absolute banger of...
games, especially at the SCG.
Yeah, down to the wire kind of thing, and in finals as well. Like, of the most butt-clenching results of the 2010s to 2019.
Yeah.
Are we calling them the teens, or...?
I don't know.
Someone will coin a fucking phrase at some stage.
Turn of the century.
They would have probably four of the top 15, I reckon.
Go close. I remember Gary Rowan kicked a goal after the siren. There was that final... They had they got thumped in the finals up there. Tony Lockett, obviously, in 96. So let's go back a bit further. But yeah, there is definitely some history there with those two.
Yeah, I mean, thinking about that, I like Sydney a lot more now, to be honest.
Me too. And it shows when we get to the double ups that they've obviously got Essendon twice. So what are the lows then? Besides a bottom four finish, which you've kind of covered off for them, what else was the bad news?
I think a lot of it revolved around contracts, because there was so much crap going about Papley, about Danaher.
Postseason. Yeah.
Yeah. And the whole thing, Danaher meeting with Tom Harley and getting caught by, was a GWS player, I think?
I'm not sure. Somebody mentioned it.
And then he's like, oh, no, I was just there having a coffee. It's like, mate, you guys weren't having a, like, what the fuck are you trying to do?
Yeah.
The other amazing thing is, you know, an AFL player getting recognised in Sydney, or two of them, in fact. But I would say that would be all the bullshit that went around about it.
Yep.
Well, that and Buddy's injuries. His pre-season or absence thereof as well.
Oh, Buddy's injuries is a massive one.
Yeah.
I mean, he only played 10 games and kicked 20-odd goals. And I think he hasn't had a season that quiet since his first season.
Yeah.
Which is...
like, they had to use him in the ruck a few times because they had no ruckman.
They're running out of ruckman. Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Sinclair done his shoulder, and then the other guys just fell away as injuries took their toll.
Who was the other ruckman they had?
They had Tippett, who retired.
And Naismith and Darcy Cameron.
Yeah. For me, the low was just basically the crushing realisation that experience has got them as far as it's going to get them.
Yep.
And they always topped up really good players, but they had their experience as the backbone, where the player could shine a little bit but not be a key role player.
Yep.
That's flipped last season. Yep. And they realised that they've got to actually rejuvenate their list, and they don't have enough young kids come through up to fill those spots. So
they don't have any scorers either.
Yeah.
A lot
of that was their problem, is putting goals on the board.
Yeah.
And it's because you've got Buddy Franklin there.
Yeah.
You expect, all right, he'll just do it.
Yeah.
But now, just to wind back just a little bit, when you said about the stuff with Danaher, the Papley issue, that's a problem because he asked to leave.
Yeah.
But they kept him, and now you got a chance. The Danaher one, I thought they actually came out all right out of it. Never mind... the shit was Tom Harley during the year. I mean, never believe what anybody says during the year. But when it came to trade week, they went, all right, well, if you want him, here's our deal. You know, Essendon, you know.
Yeah.
Here's what we want to trade for it. And they said, well, we want Heaney and this player and this player. And they went, nah.
Yeah. We'll
wait 12 months.
It was Essendon typical negotiating where they want fucking everything.
They gave them an offer that they would never
well, who's their lawyer again? Is it, what the fuck's his name?
Dodoro.
I don't know, but he's basically a divorce attorney.
Dodoro.
Yeah.
And I mean, the next thing we'll do is their outs, and I think that is right. Yeah, they probably didn't stagger some of the retirements that well.
But they just had one or two players that would come in every year, and you're like, shit, there's another star. Like, we had Heaney come in.
Yeah. Heaney, Mills.
Heaney was a bit quiet in 2019, I thought.
Well, he started to tune up a little bit.
He did start very well in the season.
He's a few years in now, isn't he?
Five
years, something like that. Yeah.
To be honest, I don't think Danaher would have added all that much to Sydney. Like, he would have been an overlapper.
Well, he did play a game. I know he did play one game or two games this year, so...
Yeah. Mm. I mean, mind you, I think Danaher's best footy was, 2018, 2017?
He did have an All-Australian in one of those years. I can't remember which one it was.
Was it this year that...
He got lucky.
Was it last year that Ronke kicked six?
Might have been the year before against Hawthorn.
Yeah. One of his breakout games,
basically. Year before. He was a first-year player. It was like his second game or something.
Yeah. Where the fuck was he last year?
Spending a bit of time in the kneeful and on the injury list, I think. All right. So, what you're saying with Danaher, the fact is, like, he's had 2 years basically out injured.
You're
not going to sell the farm to get him in.
And to be honest, there's not really much talk about his commitment to get him back and to his best. Like, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, he does seem to be a bit of a player that has obviously natural gifts.
Yeah, I'd see him and some of the Essendon boys out drinking in the northern suburbs for the game the next day.
Yeah, there you go.
Don't have too much worry about it. Yeah. There's a little bit of a dedication and a problem with effort from the players off the field, to be honest.
It's not hearsay, a rumour if you see it with your own
eyes. Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, I poured them the beer.
Did you get a tip?
Fuck no.
Nobody does. All right, so we'll have a look at their list changes, and this is where we're talking about. So the first four, Heath Grundy, Kieran Jack, Mark McVay, and Nick Smith.
See, round 23, when there was the farewell matches, I thought that was one of the times when Sydney actually did show a bit of heart.
Especially with Kieran Jack.
Yeah.
That goal was great. Was it in the final quarter?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
It was a bit of a parade. Rather than a game. Yeah.
They were playing the Saints. And the Saints had the queue not just in the rack, they had it broken down in the case, in the back of the car, and were on their fourth pint. But you can only play the team in front of you, and Sydney decided to actually send their guys off with a bit of recognition. So fair play to them.
Yeah, they were the home team, so.
Yeah.
And there was a fair crowd there, too, considering the team went pretty shit for the year.
Probably. Yeah.
So it's good to see a few of them remembered, because there's nearly there's probably over 1,000 games worth of experience there, and close to half a dozen flags as well. And they lost.
That could be why John Longmire wanted that contract so bad. It could be replaced by McVay or someone like that. Just jump straight into the hot seat.
Walk straight in. I think a few of them have walked into coaching roles or mentor roles.
I wonder if they're going to stay at Sydney or if they're probably locked in somewhere else, isn't it? It's probably hard to get into the actual team you're coming from because there's already positions filled.
Oh, they tend to make way for these kind of blokes. I mean, I'm certain at least McVay or Jack are signed in.
I mean, the other thing was good. They could actually celebrate the career that was Hanbury as well in that match. say farewell to his legacy, I suppose.
A few of them would have been surprised. Oh, he's still playing, is he? Like the crowd would have gone, mate, he's gone in the wrong locker room. Anyways. They've also lost Cameron, like you said, so their ruck issues that they had this year, they've had to do some work to get some others in. Mm. Cameron's out. Zach Jones, they've lost as well, who I thought it wasn't the cleanest player, but much like his brother, he is that bash and crouch.
Yeah.
And they don't have anybody else that plays that way.
No.
Besides probably Buddy.
Yeah. Well, he'd be the only one, because generally that was a couple of the experienced players that would just punch on through. And now that they're gone, there wasn't ever anyone that was looking to replace them or anyone that was pressuring those positions before they retired.
Yeah.
I like watching Zach Jones do that. Same as Nathan Jones.
Yeah.
Nobody likes watching Zach Jones, to be honest.
Rose as well, who was mainly a kneeful player, to be honest. And Daniel Menzel, who I thought was a little bit unlucky going up there, because he is a scorer.
Yeah.
That's what he does. But groin issues at the start of the year, then limited chances on the park, and then they delist him after 1 year. I thought.
But even with that, he's a tall in a team that needs talls. Like, they're screaming out for them, and they still don't list him. Either his medico is just like, nah, bloke's fucked, or, I don't know, he's been headbutting John Longmire's sister.
And I think with talls, I mean, they got Buddy, they got Blakey, and they've got Reed. They're kind of okay. Like, there's three, and you're not going to play all three in the forward line at the same time.
No, but you need a ruckman too.
Yeah, well, you get ruckman for the ruck work. Probably not Menzel, I reckon I'm taller than him. It's just, I thought they need a goal sneak, If Papley is good at that, and Ronke can do it, but we know their issues, and Papley was playing further up the ground. Though I think he still had a couple of bags of four.
Yeah, but traditionally they've always had that small running player that would be basically on the wing, run forward, and that jetter for the time that they did. And it always, seemed to be part of their DNA.
Yeah.
That's all we're going now.
And I think losing, what's his name, Rowan, lost a bit of that run, even though his last year or two at the Swans wasn't as prolific as it was earlier.
Yep.
But that probably fed into their lack of scoring a little bit as well.
There weren't many games this year I watched Sydney play that I was enjoying watching them play, if you know what I mean.
That's Sydney.
That's standard. It's like watching the English bat.
No, but even when they were playing sort of the Paul Roos style hardcore defence, there was at least the tight body to bodies you could sort of enjoy, like the matchups. Whereas I found this season, it just wasn't that exciting. And part of it's not having Buddy on the park too, which as soon as the ball goes near him, you expect something to happen. You're anticipating it. And that's, you don't want to go to work the next day and hear everyone talk about a goal that you missed.
Missed, exactly, yeah.
Whereas, you know, there just wasn't that this season.
Their major ins through the trade period are very interesting. We'll start with Caden Brand, who is a bit of a journeyman, and what he lacks in finesse, he makes up for enthusiasm. Is that a nice way of saying it?
Yeah, I don't mind those players, though. I think they can turn into sort of mascots.
Shit, he's nearly 2 metres tall.
And when those players actually have a good game, it lifts the whole side.
Yeah.
When you know that he's not in the top 40 talented players on the list, but he gets there through just sheer effort and just will.
There's a lot to be said for that, too. If you've got determination and effort, like you say, that's something you can build on.
Yeah, it's work. And it lifts everyone around you, too, to think, well, fuck, I'm better than him. I can't get showed up.
Louis Taylor from the Lions, I think was a NAB Rising Star winner back in the day.
I rate Little Taylor.
Yeah.
He's
busy.
He's that borderline sneaky goal finder and irritating little shit.
Yeah.
Look, every team needs an irritating little shit forward player.
Mm-hmm.
And he is good at both roles.
Yep, I agree. And he's still got a lot of good footy ahead of him as well.
Oh, hell yeah.
And Sam Gray, who I am shocked that Port Adelaide allowed that to happen.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Because I think he is a severely underrated player.
Yeah.
And I reckon that's the best of those three pickups. Why?
I have no clue what's going with Port Adelaide's list. Ollie Wines is captain, and then he's not, and then this is happening, and that's not, and fuck knows what's going on. Sam Gray is their best 18 easy.
Yeah, without a doubt.
And he's going to walk into the City Swans list as well, obviously.
Sometimes it is hard to remember which South Australian side went on that camp.
Yeah.
Some of the things that come out of Port, you go, what are you doing?
It seems like Koshy's basically shorted Port Adelaide stocks.
Would not surprise me at all. And Eddie's the one that's done it for him.
I mean, if you were making a major league remake with AFL, like the old Charlie Sheen movie.
Oh,
this
classic.
Is the tanking.
Classic.
Yeah, they're tanking now, and then it's like, all right, we're going to move it to Alice Springs. Yeah, Northern Territory's kicking in some cash.
Going to move it to Salisbury. That's where it's going. Elizabeth Power.
Yeah, they're like, with the redevelopment in Port Adelaide now, they're like, oh, yeah, Alberton's worth too much money. We're going to sell it off for $20 million.
None of it goes to the club.
Koshy's got that stitched up.
Move them to China. All right, so we'll look at the 2020 draw. So their double ups will start with the Gold Coast twice, Hawthorn, Essendon, Carlton, and GWS, of course. So Gold Coast twice is lovely. Thank you very much.
Yep.
Although they did, we should have put that as one of their lows, actually. It was giving up a 5-goal lead to Gold Coast.
Yeah, totally forgot about that.
Really did forget about that until I just mentioned it then. At home. They had a lot of troubles at home this year. But anyway.
That's been true for the last couple of seasons, though.
Yeah.
Could be the new new rivalry match, them and Gold Coast. There's something to get excited about. That'll get you in the papers.
Hawthorn, who they seem to have good games against all the time. And like we said, Essendon. Essendon's a really interesting one. They've had a good decade or so of matchups with them.
So, just a bit of controversy in both games, that's all we ask.
See, how they go against Carlton will matter so much to me for how both teams will go. Because if either team goes 2-0 against the other, then, well, one team's fucked, and the other team is going to be looking at probably high mid.
Yeah, and looking close to push for finals, you know. And it's, I think that the development of their list, Carlton, is probably a year ahead of where Sydney is.
Yeah.
They've had the dribs and drabs, but they haven't had the collective of a bunch of players. Mm. So, I mean, they had Heaney, who was, I think, pick 5 or something like that. Mills, who was, a top 10 pick, but they had academies.
Yeah.
You get them in. They got a couple of top 10 picks this year as well, but they haven't had that bunch. And they still need that one superstar. I think that's what they're missing, is that one absolute A-grade top talent.
Blakey could be that.
Could be.
He needs to get on the protein, though.
He does need
But
he's a big lad. He's a bit goofy. He needs a season or two.
I think, too, with Carlton and Sydney comparison.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Coming into an established coach with an established game plan and also a team that already has strong leadership is a bit different to where Carlton are, where they've got a new coach and who's a bit of a variable game plan, but also the players coming in like your Eddie Betts.
Yeah.
He plays how he plays.
Yeah.
He's not integrating into your game.
Yeah.
You're integrating him into your game.
Yeah, it's a bit... Eddie, just do.
Do what you do. And if you get out of the forward pocket, I'll fucking headbutt you.
I mean, but Buddy's the same thing.
Yeah.
You tell him, look, how far forward do you want me to go? Go up to the back 50 and kick it from there.
Pretty much.
All right. So who's going to have a big year for the Swans this year?
Oh, I really, really want to say Buddy, because a good Buddy is a good Sydney. Buddy ain't.
The fact that he's out injured right now.
Yeah.
As well.
Yep.
Yeah. So he's probably might limp over the line for round one. The way he's, I think he had arthroscope.
Let's just write him out now for round one. He's not playing round one. There's no chance. Nah.
I hope he's not, just because...
He's a freak.
I want to see him healthy. So if it means he doesn't take the park to round six, so be it. But if he starts injured, he's playing the whole season injured, because he'll always pick up a bang there, because his style is quite body contact heavy.
Yeah.
And he's coming in with a niggle in round one. It's going to be a bigger niggle by round two, and it's going to be a problem by the break.
Yeah, I feel like where they're really obviously failing is forward line, especially if Buddy's got injuries, but also defence and the ruck and the middle. So I feel like there's a few players that I'm expecting big years out of.
So that bench is looking all right.
How's their bench?
You need Ronk. Bench is amazing, like plush, treated pine, really good. You need Ronky to step up, have a big year. And obviously Naismith, I mean, he's probably still a few years off his best, or his physical maturity, if that makes sense.
I mean... That's if he has more improvement in him.
Yeah, if he actually can get better, yeah. Obviously, you'd want Taylor and Gray to come in and just, you know, hit the ground running, but you can't put too much weight on their shoulders. Yeah. Like, you still want them to be able to feel it out. But hopefully they get the respect from the rest of that team to make that team theirs as well. I think that's what they need.
Usually those type of players too, they have a good first or second game.
Yeah.
And then they sort of get lost a little bit until they learn the system.
Yeah. I think
they get by on talent.
Yeah, you saw the same with Wingard. Last year?
Yeah, brilliant first game, but it was round three, and then he was out injured, so it sort of follows the pattern I'm talking about, but in a roundabout way.
Yeah.
Going back to Buddy too, he needs 54 goals to kick 1,000.
It was touch and go, isn't it?
I don't see him getting it.
If he plays 18 games, he's probably going to get there.
Yeah.
You know, but imagine if it's round 23, I think they play Hawthorn actually, and he needs 6. It's like, well... Everything's going through him, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Actually, that'll be great. I think Alir is up for a big one as well. He became their Mr. Fix-It last year. A few years ago, he was the loose man of defence, and this year he became, look, we need a loose man of defence. Can you kick a couple of goals and play in the ruck?
Yeah.
So I think if the team settles down a little bit and he gets a consistent role rather than a... Please just do anything you can. He can be, you know, sort of their top three in their best and fairest.
Yeah, I hope he takes the park a fair bit, because he does take the pressure off the other big man, Magic Door. but in full flight, he is fucking fantastic to watch, Alir.
Well, he's obviously a supreme athlete.
And he's at that stage now where he's able to impact games, not just as a surprise,
but
as a regular contributor.
It's expected now. He's not new to the game anymore. He's a 5-year AFL player or 6 years or whatever it is.
But his closing speed and just leap. Brilliant to watch.
Yeah. And you'd expect Heaney now, if he's going to live up to his promise, geez, he's got a good leap on him too.
Yeah.
He needs to be in contention for all Australians. I say, that's what my
he's got the talent.
Was.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Consistency, I don't know.
I just don't know that he's got that competitive hunger that a lot of those guys get.
He seems to be. He's a really good athlete. He's got style. I don't know if we've seen it for more than 12 games a year.
But, I mean, would he be in the forward pocket and elbow someone in the face?
Well, I don't think so.
I don't know. I don't think he's that sort of bloke.
He looks like he's been elbowed in the face a few times. Not a pretty
Maybe
man.
Just to shave his head a bit. I want to see him get a little bit more cuntishness about him.
I think you say that about every team.
I do. As someone with, let's just say very modest talents in the football arena, I appreciate people that make use of that and ignore the rules occasionally to become a backman at heart.
Veteran moves are veteran moves.
Exactly.
Who's on the outer and who's in trouble at the Swans after that massive clean out of talent?
It's tough to say someone's really in trouble, to be honest. I think you'd hope that they can push out some of their defenders that weren't quite up to scratch. You've got, obviously, is it Maybaum, who's an up-and-coming defender, who I think is going to have a good year. I don't think he's on chop block. I mean, he could push out other defenders. Yeah. Gotcha, yeah. I think Thurlow, when did he get traded across?
I think this would be his second or third year.
Yeah.
Yeah, there.
I think he's one that is potentially on the outer if Maybaum can step up. And also, it depends if Jake Lowe really owns that sort of central defender set-off back. There might not be a spot for him, so he's put that with youth.
I've put a couple of controversial ones in here. First off, Kennedy, he is 32, but he is that heart and soul. He's not an athletic player at his absolute best, so age doesn't mean that much. To the style of game he plays. Yeah, but
I think with Kennedy, if you lose him, you're like, all right, we need a general who can take the field and organise the play. We need someone like Kennedy, actually.
Kennedy, exactly.
Yeah.
But, I mean, last year he was 10th in their best and fairest, and he's a guy that usually is a vote magnet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he played 19 games, so it wasn't like he was out, but I do think he plays a lot of injuries.
Yep.
So I just think that I hope they don't push him out because he is that on-field general. When last year they lost a lot of senior veteran players.
So
they do still need him hit there. If they get a bit antsy, they might think, oh, he's 32. But the other one I said was Mills, because I know they're in love with Mills. But
they've got to play him in the midfield.
Rising star winner, you know, down back. But I think a few teams have figured him out in that he's got a little bit of Jack Watts about him.
Just like titties and beer. Like he's swimming.
If only. They know that they can push him off his game.
Yeah.
He doesn't like the rough stuff. And without somebody like Zach Jones down there to protect, I think that I saw a few teams this year play through him.
Yeah.
Because they know, don't worry about it, just a bit of niggle.
Yeah. But I mean, what really impressed me was if someone figured out how to push Jack Watts onto his game.
But without Zach Jones there, the only bloke who can actually be intimidating is Buddy Franklin. And I want to see Horse do that. Like, hey, Buddy, Cam's having a bit of trouble. Would you mind going back and enforcing him? He's like, fuck you, bloke. I'm sticking up forward.
I'd like to see him go back there and just smack Cam.
I misunderstood.
Get your shit together, son.
Try my best.
Instructions unclear.
All right, so where do we see the Swans finishing in 2020 then?
I believe I have them in a pretty average 12th. Yeah.
So that's upward.
Yeah.
15th.
Yeah, I think they go upwards. Yeah. I think they were one of the last ones that I plugged in, and that was just by default.
That was where the gap was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see them going up a little bit, but mainly because I see other teams dropping. So I've got them finishing about 10th.
Yep.
But so much of this season is going to be so fucking tight.
Yeah.
Mm.
I've got them dropping because I can't see where their improvement's going to come from just yet. I think that I see they're going to finish second last. And probably only 4 or 5 wins on the year. I think that they've lost a lot of senior players, but they didn't play most of the year last year anyway.
Yeah.
I just think that they haven't replaced them well enough. And they've got a lot of players that aren't stepping up just yet. But if they do turn it around, who knows? The sky's the limit. But And I also think that signing of Longmire was a mistake.
Terrible. I mean, we've been saying that for how long's podcast been going?
Yeah, a long time. I just don't think it plays the right way for him.
If you're right, that's rebuild.
Yeah, of course it is.
Yeah, they're definitely rebuild.
But I mean, they finished bottom four. I mean,
yeah, but that's one season and they played finals so much. So often, you'd give them a break on that one.
Yeah.
But if you finish 17th, like you're dropping, and you've got the class of young lads they do, all of a sudden they're like, well, look, we trade Heaney, we get two first-rounders for him, say, or maybe some late pick swaps to go with it. You have to take it. You have to do it.
Like you say, you know, it is only 1 year, and they have a lot of runs on the board, so to speak. But in a year where four other coaches got sacked for, you know, not playing well enough or not playing finals enough, I do think they snuck under the radar a lot
for sure, in
that drop. And the fact that they got skittish and signed Horse onto a big contract.
Well, I mean, I don't know. It's not the worst option. Because Brad Scott was free.
I was going to say.
Yeah, that's true.
Mark Neild wasn't doing anything either.
Look, I just hope people turn up and watch him play.
Yeah, I hope they don't.
I don't care.
All right, bye.
Good luck.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.